one page.
Okay. Okay, tomorrow we'll have a Sira and Hashkafa. I guess we'll at least start out right, and we'll see if we can continue. So we'll try to do that at, excuse me, at 10 to 2. So 10 to 2 till approximately 2:30. I'm not sure what the topic is. Maybe something in honor of the new Beis Medrash, or something in Hilchos Tshuva, or both. Sorry? If not tomorrow, then next week. Okay, it's a good suggestion. Okay, so we began last time discussing the various models for Cheskas Gevul Shanim, and what we did so far was we read the Mishnah and noted several issues which need to be explored more fully. The relationship between Cheskas Gevul Shanim and Cheskas Tashmishim being one. The relationship between Kinyan Chazaka and Rayas Chazaka being another. Just to highlight that, I mentioned the view of Rav Haigon in Mekachum Memkar. I just wanted to contrast that just briefly with the Ritva. We'll talk more about it as we go on. But just to highlight it, I mentioned that Rav Haigon in the Sefer Mekachum Memkar, when he describes the various kinyanim, that's what the Sefer is dedicated to, types of kinyanim, mekachum emkar. So he clearly draws a strong parallel between cheskas gimel shanim and kinyan chazaka. So again, I'm using the shitas kamai here, but I think it's you'll find it in mekachum emkar itself. Obviously, that's what this citation is from. It's also quoted in the Ginzei Hagaonim that I mentioned the other day. There's always overlap between the various svarim. So the Mekachum Emkar tells us that Bahashar HaGimel Kinyan Chazaka. And then he goes on to say, Lo Kani Inish B'Chazaka Elakarka B'Avdi Bilvad. And he quotes the Mishnah in Kiddushin, Nechasim Sheisha Machrayas Niknim B'Kesef U'B'Shtar U'B'Chazaka. So one would have thought that what he's talking about is what he says, namely Kinyan Chazaka, Kishmo Kainhu. Right? That's a reasonable assumption. But then when you go on, you read the chazakazu mitchaleket lishnei panim, that there are two aspects to chazaka, and he's talking about kinyan chazaka still. One aspect is yesh chazaka she'ein adam kone es hakarka ela b'shalosh shanim v'zu hi chazaka sheyeshi mataina. Again, that's just a very strange way to formulate cheskas gimel shanim. One wouldn't think that that's a method of being kone karka. You're not kone the karka with the gimel shanim when you have a taina. That's a raya that there was previously a kinyan. And Rav Haigon doesn't deny that reality. What I just described is true for Rav Haigon as well. So the fact that he chooses to deal with this issue under the same rubric as kinyan chazaka, and even when he deals with it, to continue to formulate it in the context of kinyan, or this is the reinforcement of the kinyan, would seem to be very, very significant. And then he adds, "Aval chazaka shehi beretzon shnehem," which of course is a reference to the continuation, the last line in the Mishnah there, on Mem Beis Amud Aleph. Chazaka shehi beretzon shnehem shezeh mochav zelokeach ve'ein taina b'neihem shemnol gadal and so on. B'fonav kol shehu lachemikan rotz echad lachzer lav kol kaminei, etc. So he mixes and matches. Then he quotes the Gemara in Dufn Dafn and Beis. Odgar Sinan, Bamedvar Mamurim Bamachsik, Avonose Matana Haachin Shechilku, No Gadar, Koshuhu Abachazaka, Barminan Allah, quoting the Gemara in the end of the parak, Nun Beis, Atu Kolhani Darminan Lab Chazakahu? Like if you seize upon that line, basically you're trying to underscore what is common between Cheskas Gimel Shanim and Kinyan Chazaka, which of course is something Rav Haigon is very comfortable with. Again, it's hard to know which came first, the comfort with that formulation or the conviction that there's a strong relationship between Cheskas Gimel Shanim and Kinyan Chazaka, not merely in the nomenclature, but in the substance of it as well. But either way, Rav Haigon's presentation clearly integrates these two themes on some level. I just wanted to contrast that. Again, we'll get back to this point. We already made some references to some of the issues. But just to contrast it sharply with the other makar that I mentioned, but I didn't have a chance to read it last time, and that is the Ritva. The Ritva, right in the beginning of the parak, the first words of the parak, are Perish kol chazako, it says, starts off parak cheskes habatim, Perish kol chazakos haniskaros bekan, heim chazakos shel raya, de ukmuha b'makom shtar ve'edim. The ein zu chazaka de kinyan, haniskarim b'nechasim sheish l'machrayas. Now that's true, again, no matter what you say. I mean, Rav Haigon would not deny that cheskes raya and cheskes kinyan are different. Right, he's only suggesting that they are a single, you know, extended idea. So why is this an important line in the Ritva? Aside from the fact that it's his first words of the parak and he finds it necessary to draw the distinction, but because of the next five words, whether you count the Rashi Tevos, I guess. The Einon Domos Ze Laze Klal. Okay, that's just mentality and orientation, that's really a sharp contrast to Rav Haigon. And then he tries to demonstrate this. Deilu cheskas kinyan hu tikun begufa shel karka. Kiditznan. Noal godar paratz kol shehu arezu chazaka ve'achilas peros ein akonem kidibin lememer bepirkin. Deilu cheskas raya hu behepech. De tikun, probably should be a footnote here. Okay, I don't know. This is the old, by the way. This is Mosar of Cook, a new Ritva, but this is the old one, the blau one, as we call it, the old blue. There probably should be a word here. Detikun eino raya. Oh, that's actually fine. Detikun eino raya, because I mean in the Kaman, Meimar Amar kol Shivi de Karva, etc. Ein Chazaka lachilas peros b'shufi kedera shabal mochan. So the Ritva underscores the distinction between Cheskas Kenyan and Cheskas Raya, by noting his view, which is also the view of most Rishonim, but not all Rishonim, the prominent exception of the Rambam, which we'll discuss, we already made some allusion to it, that when it comes to kinyan, chazaka, you have to do a kinyan in the gufa karka. If you do a kinyan in the peros of the karka, right, that doesn't constitute a kinyan in the gufa karka. Again, the Rambam happens to disagree with that in Perek Aleph, Hilchos, I believe Ariel mentioned it a little bit last time. Perak Aleph Hilchos Mechira Halacha Tezvav Tezayin. There's actually some people think that there's a stira in the Rambam between Hilchos Chiyum Matana and Hilchos Mechira. There's not really a stira, and it's very important to understand that Rambam. Hopefully, we'll get to it in a couple of days just to clarify that point. But it's the view of the Rambam that you could, in theory, at least with this Das Makna, create a kinyan chazaka by being machzik in the peros. The Ravid Alatar strongly disagrees. The Ritva here agrees with the Ravid and quotes it to establish that cheskas kinyan and cheskas raya have only the word chazaka in common, maybe a little more, but certainly conceptually constitute two totally different ideas. But as I say, the Rambam obviously didn't feel that way, and not in substance when it came to peros. Rav Haigon didn't feel that way when it came to concept. Now, the Rambam's view is a little more complicated. The Rambam happens to disagree about this point, but agrees in mentality with the Ritva, or maybe since the makor perhaps of chazaka begufa karka al yidei peros may itself come from the world of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, and we already mentioned last time that there are a couple of Gemaras that the Rambam thinks may apply both to Hilchos Mechira and to Hilchos Toin V'Nitan. Does that put the Rambam, I guess, in the Rav Haigon camp? So we'll get back to that. I just wanted to establish the contrast. Yeah.
Haigon also in Kanten says that he also passed the Sinan Mirin.
Correct. And of course, it's an issue, by the way, not only in Karka, but it's an issue that comes up in Kiddushin as well. When it comes to avadim, how are you kone kin and chazaka? What does the avad have to do for you? What kind of tikkun? What kind of chazaka does he have to accomplish? And then there's a discussion in Rishonim whether to be mechalek between karka and avad in this matter or not, etc. So that's one issue that we have to look at more fully. Obviously, both when it comes to Cheskas Tashmishim and when it comes to Kinyan Chazaka, we talk about the relationship of Cheskas Gimel Shanim to either of those. So it's an issue that affects, respectively, both categories. In other words, the relationship between Cheskas Tashmishim and Cheskas Gimel Shanim will be determined by our analysis and understanding of each. The relationship between Kinyan Chazaka and Cheskas Gimel Shanim will depend on our understanding of each. So that's those are two issues that we noted. The third issue, the most important issue that we're dealing with, the implicit issue, is the question of metaltolin. That we're going to pursue a little bit more today. The implicit contrast to metaltolin, where there is an immediate chazaka as opposed to chazaka of Gimel Shanim. Do we ever have an immediate cheskas Gimel Shanim? Or wouldn't have immediate cheskas karka, excuse me. Do we ever have a delayed metaltolin? And if so, do they simulate, the paradigm of metaltolin, even when it's an immediate karka, or does it simulate karka when it's a delayed metaltolin? Right, these are all issues that need to be examined. And again, they shed light on Cheskas Gimel Shanim for karka. It also will shed light on metaltolin. And here, I say the issues are very, very important. We need to understand why in metaltolin there is an immediate chazaka. We need to understand what happens after 3 years in karka, whether or not it just becomes the equivalent of metaltolin or it's a totally different idea. We need to understand what happens, when metaltolin don't have an immediate chazaka, and especially what happens when they have a delayed chazaka, the issue of Godros. These are some of the questions that we have to examine. And then, finally, we also noted the inclusion of avadim in the Mishnah, which is always an interesting issue because avadim are in between karka and metaltolin, and of course the absence of godros lacha gimel, something that we noted as well. And then finally the question of the shir chazaka, whether it depends in time or it's too early in the year for me to be losing my voice, whether it depends on time or whether it depends on actions. And again, that's something that would affect its connection to Tashmishim and to Kinyanim. Those are some of the issues that we have to look out for. Okay. So now let's return to those are the things that are raised by the Mishnah, back of the mind, and some, we're just going to start building, informational databases and keeping them, constantly in our consciousness. And then, of course, the actual formulations of the source of and model of Cheskas Gimel Shanim that the Gemara itself develops. And that's what we're up to now. Did you have a question before? Okay. Okay, good. So that's where we are. So we began reading last time the Gemara. We read the Gemara of Hoche Yusha. We're going to get back to that in a minute. I just want to finish the Gemara until Gimel Amin Aleph, so we have the other two explicit formulations in front of us. And then we'll go back to Hoche Yusha. We already examined some of the possibilities. Let's go into the actual Rishonim on Hoche Yusha, and then we'll go back to the two Ravas and the formulations about them, and then we'll expand into the other Mar Makomos. So let's hear from somebody. Josh, go ahead. I think we left off. We read through the Gimel, the Usha. We're going to go back to Usha in a couple of minutes and go, go through all the Havaminas according to the various Rishonim. But first, I just want to establish the other two Shitas. So we first established Holkei Usha, the idea that we learned from Shor Hamuad, from the transition from Tam to Muad, we're able to derive Cheskas Gimel Shanim. We'll get back to that, the details of that in a moment. We already noted that it seems on the surface to be very challenging equation, number one. We just need to understand it better. Number two, the Gemara then goes on to develop a series of Havaminas, right? Maybe it should take 4 years if this paradigm is true. Maybe you shouldn't need a Taina if this paradigm is true. Maybe Mecha Shelo Bafanav should not operate either if this paradigm is true. Maybe according to the Manda Amar, Kirev Negichosav constitutes an earlier muad, maybe we should say the same thing and we shouldn't have to wait all these years when it comes to chazaka. So these are the four questions that the Gemara asks according to the position of Hol Chayusha. So we just need to understand better what Hol Chayusha are really all about and how those questions, especially since they're introduced with Elameata, my view generally is that an Elameata question is, you know, a kind of a, you know, more dramatic question. Elameata, if you really think conceptually that, you know, this is, you know, the basis for a particular halacha, then you should be consistent and so on. It's not your regular, you know, kushya or pircha. I like to call it a drum roll. It's a, you know, wow, if this is true, then, you know, then this follows. It's always some sort of an important conceptual. It's not, you know, your usual kushya of the teirutz. So if that's the case, we really need to understand what do these four things have to do with Hol Chayusha. What is it about Hol Chayusha that makes Mecha Shelo B'fanav, or the requirement of Taina, or Kirev Negichosav, etc., or Dalid, you know, Shanim, a better model? So that, we'll hold off on that for a minute. We've already discussed it a little bit, but we'll go back to it. Meanwhile, the Gemara concludes, as far as the Kirev Negichosav at least is concerned, that in Ochanami, the Hol Chayusha are equated with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel actually believes in the equivalent of Kirev Negichosav, namely, he will believe that you can have a more rapid chazaka based on events. So that seems to be acceptable. So then the Gemara says, go ahead, L'Rabbanan. Right, we're at four lines to the bottom?
Yeah, L'Rabbanan Mai.
Meaning, this is good for Hol Chayusha and Rabbi Shmuel. But if you don't hold like them, now the whole Mishnah sounds like it really operates this way. But as we already noted, the Chachamim in the Gemara very possibly require Gimel, Shanim, Shlemos, no matter what kind of crops we're talking about. And I should also add that there's a big discussion in the Rishonim on the Mishnah already, the Rajba and others, you know, Lahalacha, whether we paskin like the Mishnah or we paskin like the Chachamim. The Rif quotes the Mishnah. Do we really paskin like the Mishnah or not? Okay. So we're assuming for the moment that there are Rabbanan who disagree, that the Rabbanan disagree with the Mishnah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
So what's that all about?
Jeremiah tells them to write, they should write shtaros because they're not going to be able to create a chazaka. They're not going to only be there for 2 years.
The assumption is that you need a shtar because you're not going to have time because you're going to be leaving to Galus, you know, very soon. So the implication is that if it had been longer, he wouldn't have given this Eitz HaTova. Now, of course, that isn't an explanation. It's not a model. It's a makar. Which in itself is interesting. It implies that the Gemara isn't only interested in knowing how Cheskas Gemel Shanim work. They're interested in knowing that it works. Maybe they already know how it works, and it's more a question of a makar. Okay, go ahead. Amalei Abaye. Right, meaning Yirmiyah wasn't only interested in, you know, what the strict halacha was. He was interested in giving good advice. It's always good advice to have a shtar, because it's leman yamdu yamim rabim, right? Shtar can be very helpful. In addition to which, shtar is always a fascinating instrument, and, you know, just having one around, you know, is a good conversation piece. We know that from last year. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Okay, so that's not a raya. Go ahead. Ela Marava. So now the Gemara has not a makar, but a svara. And the svara isn't just a source. More important, it implies a certain perspective on Chesed Gimel Shanim. And what is that perspective? In one word, mechila. Correct? So if it's mechila, so then basically it's important to note that the Gimel Shanim play what kind of a role?
Just as a raya for
mechila. Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Gimel Shanim become meaningless. They are, I mean, conceptually meaningless. They're factually just a, you know, their background for establishing that there was a mechila. But the mechanism is mechila. If this really would have been, if we take his kipshuto, and this was really the source of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, so Cheskas Gimel Shanim, for example, would have absolutely nothing to do with Kinan Chazak. Just, you know, to illustrate that point. On the other hand, if we were talking about the relationship between Cheskas Tashmishim, let's say, and Cheskas Gimel Shanim, and we were to argue that Mechila is the basis, that could be a fine explanation for both. Either way, this wouldn't have this. The chazaka here would be incidental. It would be a hechatimtzi for something else. You don't establish something in 3 years. 3 years is simply the shiur in which we know that there is a lack of kpeda leading to mechila. But this is not about raya at all. It's not about raya. It's not about previous kinyan. It's about present, either kinyan or zchuyos in the chayfetz. Okay, go ahead. Amale. The assumption here is also that there could be mechila b'karka. That's the other assumption of the Gemara. Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
so what's the question?
If we're asking mechila, then seemingly after 2 years you wouldn't have to give back the fruits which you've eaten.
Because if we take his silence as mechila,
so then he should have been used mocha on all those fruits.
Yeah.
But Rav Nachman says that when you give back the land, you have to give back the money for the payros also, which implies that he wasn't mocha.
Oh, okay.
Ela marava shasa kamaisa lo kapit inish, tarpi lo kapit, las kapit.
Okay, so what does that mean?
In terms of, I guess, it's not really mechila. He's not showing that he was mocha the whole time. Just, I guess, for 2 years, he's willing to let
if somebody's squatting on your land, so till 3 years, you might look the other way, thinking that, you know, he, you know, is going to go away and, you know, maybe has some, you know, deep-rooted psychological problem and attachment to your land, but, you know, let him work it out. But once you reach the three-year point, no baal, no owner is going to tolerate squatters. Correct? So, and therefore?
And then, I mean, it alleviates the problem of the hadra period, because therefore you're going to want your payros back.
If you mocha in the interim. So, but what is the nature of this halacha then? So it's not mechila, but what is it?
Kpeda.
Well, I mean, kpeda in what sense? So he's not makpid, and therefore what? Kpeda is a kinyan? What is lack of kpeda? If lack of kpeda were a kinyan, then that would be mechila. We'd be back to square one, right? So what is it? Stephen?
It's a raya, but it's not his.
Yeah, the simple reading of the Gemara is that this is a raya, this is an umdun, a demuchach, that he's lying. And if a guy comes after 3 years or 5 years or whatever it is, 3 years and a day, whatever the case may be, and he's ma'arer, and he was silent until now, it's not a credible taina. If the taina sama'arer is not credible, so then we believe the machzik. So like the first option, mechila, this has nothing to do with the gimel shanim per se, do not build anything. They're not a process which establishes like a stronger connection to the karka or anything of the sort, right? The gimel shanim are a hechetimtzi, but not a hechetimtzi of forward mechila and kinyan, but a hechetimtzi which establishes an error, right? It's ma'arer, it undermines the taina of the ma'arer, of the marakama, let's call him, right? And therefore we believe the machzik rather than the ma'arer. Not because he did anything in those 3 years, his presence in the karka during the 3 years are essentially nothing more than a provocation, right? And if it's a provocation, then the response to that is what's important. The, you know, silence is a deafening assent, right, to the claim of the machzik. That's essentially what we're saying. So this is not a kinyan at all. It's not mechila. It is raya for the machzik, but I would call it, and people call it, a raya tzadis, meaning it's an extraneous raya. basically. Okay, it's a din in Hilchos Nemanus, really, not a din in Kinyanim or in Muchzakus or anything of that sort. Whereas, you know, other ways of looking at Chesed Gimel Shanim, you know, may establish that the Gimel Shanim really do something. They're not just the background to provoke a response, and therefore the silence is the coda. Okay, that's a simple reading of Rav Kamaisa, let's call it. Okay, okay, continue. Amar le Abaye. Meaning?
If it's true, then how about the people of the Bevar?
If silence is the proof,
then they're so mockery that anytime somebody steps on their borders, they go crazy. So if they say nothing, then it should be Chazaka right away.
Right. No, we should be able to tailor this to people's specific reactions. And people who are less tolerant of squatters, right, we should have an earlier period of chazaka. Okay, some of the Rishonim here are very bothered. Again, we'll have to discuss some of the more details when we fill in the picture. But some of the Rishonim are very bothered, you know, why the Gemara is, you know, focusing in this direction and not in the other direction. I mean, some people are more tolerant of squatters, so why not say that for those people who are known to be more open-minded, you know, that there's a 5-year chazaka or a 10-year chazaka, right? Or there's never a chazaka. Why are we only interested in disproving the shir gimel shanim as a shir in provocation and response in the chumrah sense, right? To have an earlier chumrah kula, but in terms of having an earlier or more rapid chazaka. Okay. But either way, that's the Gemara's seeming problem. Okay. The chitema. Which is also a strange line in the Gemara. I don't know if we can solve that, but yeah, I mean, you know, either you're a low plug person, in which case you shouldn't be asking this kind of question to begin with. And if you're not a low plug person, then why are you saying im kein nasata dvarecha l'shiurim? That's the whole point. The whole point of the question is that, you know, we're trying to assess this individual's. We're not globally, you know, establishing patterns of silence. So if we're interested in the individual and truth in this particular case, and we're not just interested in having a, you know, consistent law in the books, so what's the problem of Nasata Dvarecha L'Shiurim? So I'm just pointing out that if you read the Gemara Kipshuto here, which, again, we're not looking for trouble, we just happen to often find it, but definitely not looking for it. So if you read the Gemara Kipshuto, which one would want to, which is that this whole view of Rava is purely riot studies, so there are really two glaring issues to consider. Again, you might find very technical answers for them. Number one, why are we interested in the problem in one direction and not in the other? And number two, the Gemara just seems to be talking in circles, right? The question is based on the assumption of, you know, a non-low plug perspective, and the answer is low plug. So it can't be that way because low plug. So then don't ask the question. On the other hand, if this Gemara is not the whole story, or the pshuto of this Gemara is not the whole story, this is just a piece that fits in to a wider scheme of Cheskes Gimel Shanim, we'll try to explain what we mean by that, so then we might understand why there are some limitations in the Gemara's Shakla Vitaria. Either way, it's something to at least know. Okay. All right, let's continue. So that's one perspective. Let's take so far Rava Kamaisa, the purest simple perspective, let's take it as is without these questions, namely Cheskas Gimel Shanim is based on Rayat Stadis, Cheskas Shaskon, whatever you want to say. Well, that's the basic perspective. Okay. Elam Rava, so Rava revises his view. Go ahead.
Elam Rava, Shasek Hamaita Mizdar Inish Bishtare, Karate Vitlas Mizdar, Tvei Lo Mizdar.
Okay. And what does that mean?
Somebody will only watch over his star for 3 years. After 3 years, he's not going to keep the star.
So what's again pretty unclear here is whether or not this is a new model. So now we have possibly three. Again, we're not sure what the, you know, Hoche Usha model is relative to the second or the third either. We don't know if it's just a different makor, and, you know, maybe a couple of details, nafkamina, like whether you can, you know, operate with tvuos and maisim as opposed to time, but basically the theme might be very similar, overlapping, or not. We're not sure about that either. But if we're not certain about the relationship between Hocheusha and Rava, we're certainly not certain about the relationship between Rava Kamaisa and Rava Basraisa, right? Is the Ella here an adjustment and an answer to the previous question? In Achanami, really the foundation is Imacha, the silence of the Ma'arer. However, to answer your question, if that's the case, why don't we have an earlier Chazaka, right, on the basis of, you know, greater Kpeda, right, to answer that question, I'm telling you there's another factor. Namely, you can never have too early, you can never have a chazaka within 3 years, even though the riot studis seems to be in place, because, Josh, because formulate it a little better, because you can't have one way to read Rava is that Rava is just adjusting his previous formulation. He really still believes that the foundation of chazaka is the silence of the ma'arer. But to answer the question, if so, why can't you have an earlier period for chazaka when people are known to be makpid? So the answer is because of this factor of hisdar inish bishtari, meaning, legally, how would you explain it? That's really the foundation of chazaka is something else. Maybe it's ocheusha, maybe it's right silence, the raya of the silence. However, there's another factor to consider. This other factor isn't an alternative model. This other factor is an adjustment on the previous ones, namely.
It's a side issue that legally, if you bought it, then you should have a shtar.
Exactly. Namely, we'll call it a reyasa, right? Even as there is a proof that the machzik is the owner by virtue of the silence of the marakama, right? At the very same time, there is evidence supporting the marakama, undermining the claim of the machzik, namely, achvi lach shtari. If you're the true owner, how come you can't produce the document? Now that will determine that every time, within 3 years, all things being equal, you're not going to get the effect of a chazaka. But we're not saying that isdar ish bishtari necessarily is the whole story, that's the basis of chazaka. What we're saying is, isdar ish bishtari is the reason why, right, you have to adjust the previous model of either Hocheusha or Kpeda, etc. That's one way to look at the continuation of the Gemara, in which case we don't have three models, we have an adjustment on the second model, okay? Or maybe it's all one model, that would even be, much less interesting, but, possible. The simple reading of Rava is that Rava is chozer from what he said previously, that he no longer thinks that the silence of the ma'arer is the koveya in Cheskes Gimel Shanim. Rather, he thinks that the focus should be not on the ma'arer, but on the machzik. And what does he then believe?
Once the machzik's done it, then it's his. But then you just have to wait out, the period until you find out the starting.
Exactly. So somehow, the issue that the machzik has to address, all things being equal, the machzik is in a strong position. He has to address simply the problem of achvi shtarech. Now the question is, good, that neutralizing a reyasa is always a fine and good thing, but does neutralizing a reyasa a kinyan make? Right? Why should that be sufficient? And that's essentially the question of. Of? I don't have my list, I don't know my names yet, but Yosef, right? Who asked that question? Not so poetically, but with greater authority than I do, right? Does neutralizing a reyasa a kinyan make? Said who? Michael? I don't think so. Did he? I don't think so. But the Ritva did. Did the Rashba say it first? I think the Ritva certainly says it. I thought that the Ritva was the first one to formulate it that way. Which is why he comes up with a very important. One second. Now we have to get Jesse back in business here. You've been in touch with the powers that be?
No.
Not yet,
right?
You know, they were like, last year they were like teasing us, and now we fall victim to our heightened expectations. The Ritzvah here on Chaf Tes Amud Aleph asks the question. Miu, Tzorech Talmud, Ma Inyan Shiyafsid Hala Karkao, Mipnei Shaze, Ein Lo Liyazdar Bishtare. Kivin de Leisle Hashta, Lo Taima de Kpeda, Velo Taima de Mechila. Right? Which is another way of saying, right? Just because there's no Reyesa of Ach Vishtarech, right, that, you know, doesn't seem to substitute for the lack of a kinyan to justify changing, you know, Rishuyos, even when it comes to a piece of karka. That's the Ritva's question. The Ritva's answer, what is the Ritva's answer? Y'all seem to see it or not? Didn't get to it yet? Ariel? Okay.
He essentially says that it's a fisa, like, even one of the fisa, like, by metalflin, but it takes 3 years to get out of that.
Yeah. So the Ritva invokes metalflin. And this, of course, is something that the Ritva does in the very, very beginning of the sugya as well. I'll read that line. He does it in a way which is a little problematic, which may need some explanation, which we're going to get back to. But miu tzorch talmud, the one I just read, kivin leitzle hashtel lo time of the kpeda velo time of the mechila, where do you get the kinyan? Vanochom de shura sadin kivin shezem machzik pekarka the ochel b'shufei gamur b'yodin abaylim b'ena mochim dinu shetei ria afil raya afilu ba'achila achas ke'ein shatvisa raya b'metaltalin ela kivin de karkos v'avodim b'nei shtarin dinu. Kila machzik shtar reyasa, shtar rather reyach es kase, ukomeres lebaila achshav girashtani she'enu nemenes darminin ach ve'giteich. Elakivin de'avru gimel shanim leisle lizdarurei bishtarei ikaimech es kase. So the Ritva basically, again, the details are a little bit more problematic, particularly this line is what I'm referring to. Ke'en shatfisa raya b'metaltalin. One second, which he describes as kiven sheyodin abaylin beinan mochim dinu shetehi raya afilu ba'achila achas ke'ein shatvisa raya b'metaltalin. Normally we don't think that the raya in metaltalin has anything to do with the shtika of the ma'arir, right? At least that's normally not the way that we would formulate it. As it happens, the Ritva is totally, totally consistent here in two respects. When the Ritva starts the sugya, can I ask you to read the Ritva on the sugya? So I assume I already read this. When he starts talking about Hocheyusha, minayin lechazaka shi shaloshanim, he says, klomar, mehecha nafka lechazaka shetehei shaloshanim lo pachot velo yoter. Number one, the Ritva is just interesting. All the other Rishonim, the simple reading of the Gemara, is when the Gemara says, Minayin lechazaka shi gimel shanim, the question is not just how many years, but how do you know that there is such a phenomenon as a cheskas gimel shanim, right? It's minayin lechazaka shi shalosh shanim, meaning not how do you know that the chazaka, which we all know exists, is 3 years and not 2.5 and not 3.5, right? The simple reading of the Gemara is, how do you know there's such a phenomenon called Cheskas Gimel Shanim, right? The Ritva, you know, starts with that. Klomar mehecha nafka lecheskas lechazaka rather shetehei gimel shanim lo pachot velo yoter. He reads the Gemara. We all understand that chazaka has to apply to karka, right? The question is, you know, how long is it going to be? But then he adds intvi sasan raya kimetaltalin. Right, so you see he had this notion already in the very beginning of the sugya. if the model, if the paradigm is metaltalin, says the Ritva. And then he adds the words, shelo hayu habaylim shoskim, which for the first time you see it is a little jarring. And then later on, when he makes the equation, he repeats it again, which reinforces the idea that he means it. Right? It's not just like a, you know, a sloppy usage, which we wouldn't expect from a Rishon anyway, but obviously if he repeats it, then he's comfortable with it. The question is, what does he mean by it? Shelo yo bailim shoskim tehevi chazkas on the altar. And then he says, v'im eim tvisasan la'alter raya, mipnei shu davar sh'adam yachal hikanes l'tocho, which I think is his way of saying, there's no tvisa, right? And it's, anybody can just walk into a piece of car, meaning mukzakos, or the equivalent of tvisa and karka, doesn't have the same significance. That's a very, very important line. Yachal kaladam likanes l'tocho, lama lahem chazak aliola. So basically, he reads the Gemara, how do you know it's 3 years? But he formulates the question, it should either be immediate or nothing. But again, he had hints at this perspective on metaltalin, that somehow shtika, some error, is important for metaltalin as well. And again, the first time he says it, he's only talking about metaltalin as a model. Then later on, in the end of the sugya, in his Darinish Mishtari, he's the one who asks the pointed question, well, you've eliminated the reyesa, but where did you get the raya from? You just now know that there's no raya against the raya. And if the answer is, we're going all the way back, according to the Ritva, to the beginning of the sugya, right? In Ochanami, it's metaltalin, that's the paradigm, and we take it very seriously. The only thing is that for 3 years, you have a reyesa, which needs neutralizing. Once you've done that, then you're fine. So let's just say it this way. We're going to review all of this and revise some of it. But at least what we have so far is the Hocheusha. We have the first Rava, and we have the second Rava. And while we're not sure what any of these three things mean, let's just point out on each one. Hocheusha, we're going to analyze, in 30 seconds, we're going to start pinning that down more fully. But Hocheusha clearly is very problematic. We're not sure what it's all about. Rava Kamaisa, the simple pshat, let me say it this way. The simple pshat of Hocheusha is that it's something about 3 years themselves creating a new halakhic reality. The comparison to Shoramuad, that's what happens in Shoramuad. You take an animal that is a tam and it gets transformed into a muad by the activities of Negicha and the warnings of Hasra. So the simple reading of Hocheusha is that we're dealing with a process of transformation by means of Gimel Shanim. That seems to be one model. Now, what exactly that transformation is, or whether it's identical to Tvisa and Metaltalin, we'll have to examine. One could say it takes 3 years to accomplish in a piece of karka what happens immediately when you completely control and pick up when you do a physical tfisa in metaltalin. Well, that's one way to say it. Another way to say it, even if you're looking at it from this perspective, is if you were talking about the physical tfisa and its impact, that would be all or nothing. And you don't have that in karka. It's davar she'efshar likanes betocho, and also something which you can never fully be tofes. But, at least on a parallel level, but it doesn't mean that it has to be fully equated, and there could certainly be important nafkamina, lakula, and lakumra, right? What you... the tfisa that you have in metaltalin, so you have something different but parallel in karka. Call it mukzakus, creation of mukzakus, which may not be identical, but is, I say, parallel. But either way, the way to look at that is it's a process where the gimel shanim accomplish the deed. Then you have the first rava, right, which is not a din in gimel shanim creating anything, right, the simple reading of the first rabba, but is based on riot studies against the mocha, against the ma'arer. His lack of credibility due to his silence of 3 years, right, gives the machzik the edge in namanus. Okay, that's the second perspective. So then, cheskes gimel shanim belongs to hilchos, rov, and chazaka, and migu, meaning it's a method of establishing the you know, relative merit of one taina against the other. Okay, that's where it belongs. It belongs with those halachos. The Shev Shmaitza should have, you know, written more prakim and shmaitzas about it. Okay. That's the second perspective. The reason that we're not 100% sure about that one, again, that we're not 100% sure about Hol Chayusha, goes without saying, it's just so challenging. In addition to the length questions of the Gemara. But that we're not so certain about Rava Kamaisa is only because of the two issues that we raised, namely Nasata Dvarecha L'Shiurim and the, you know, single direction of the Gemara's question challenging the low plug. Okay. But that the Pashtus is that's what Rava Kamaisa is. We just have to be open to other possibilities. And then comes Rava Basraisa. So again, if we want to make three extremes, and you know, we would take the Ritva here. Forget about the nuance of the Ritva about Shtika for the moment. The point would be that Cheskas Gimel Shanim is Cheskas Metaltalin, right? The Gimel Shanim, like the first view of Rava, like the second view, in other words, is not about building or creating something. It's about a Dinin Raya, but it's not a positive Raya for the Machzik. The Machzik doesn't need a positive Raya. What he really needs to do is neutralize a Reyesa. That's a whole different ballgame as well. And that he does by time, by not being plagued by the accusation, Achvi Lach Shtari. But what is the basis of Chazaka? Not the Raya for the Machzik, but the Tfisa, the equivalent to Metalpilin Tfisa of the Machzik, not of the silence of the Ma'ar. So basically, if you just read the Gemara Kipshuto, we would have three completely different models of Cheskas Gimel Shanim. If we were the Rambam, you know, we would be categorizing and cataloging Cheskas Gimel Shanim in three probably totally different places. And in reference to our question, you know, how does Cheskas Gimel Shanim equate, or how does it, you know, relate to Tashmishim and Kinyanim and so on, we would have probably three very different answers, you know, depending on which of these three models we picked. Okay. Now, in order to be, again, not to look for trouble, but to be more accurate, given the fact that there are difficulties and different formulations for Rishonim, so let's go back and analyze each one a little bit more extensively. Okay, so let's begin with Hol Chayusha. So we know some of the problems and we read some of the issues. A, the Hol Chayusha, the equation itself. Secondly, the four problems or the four issues that the Gemara raises. The fourth year, the lack of taina, the mecha shelo b'fanav, and the kirev negichosa. Okay, so what can we derive in terms of Hol Chayusha? Okay, so what I would say is let's just look at it one by one. We start off with the point that the Gemara, we already noted this. We start off with question number one: is this a milsa b'taima? Is it a svara, or is it just a mystery? That seems to be a debate between Rishonim. Bali Tosa seem comfortable with Hol Chayusha, aside from one point in Hol Chayusha, namely the Gemara's Havamina, first Havamina of Dalid Shani. I'm more impressed with the fact that Tosas didn't think it was a milsa below taima without that Havamina than I am with his difficulty in explaining the Havamina. Okay. And especially, as I noted on Thursday, the first year, in contrast to the Ramban, who just starts off, you know, before any Havamina and just says, Ma inyan ze etzol ze, right, these seem to be quite different halachos. Very hard to understand what this kasher is. It seems already that there is a bit of a disparity in the perspective of the Ramban and Tosas. Again, if that was the only disparity, the articulation of difficulty, you know, there would be many other ways to explain it, and it would mean nothing. Let's just see whether or not, however, it doesn't fit in to a larger pattern. Okay. So question number one is, how difficult or natural is this equation? It seems like Tosas is not so bothered by it, except that Havamina, it seems like the Ramban thinks it's a big chiddush all the way along. What is the connection, according to Tosas, since they don't think it's such a big chiddush aside from the Dalid Shanim. So what is it, Ariel? We already noted. Well, you can read the Tosas quickly if you want. Ad Negicha? Tame of the Reed? Cheska Shatsk, correct. Right. You can just read Tame of the Reed, go ahead. Meaning, I don't understand this Havamina, because the Hocheusha operate on the basis of an equation between Cheskas Nagchon and Cheskas Shaskon. Now the question is, what is Cheskas Shaskon? Cheskas Nagchon in the context of Shor Muad, we understand. We want to know, is this a tame, you know, friendly animal? Or is this a, you know, menace, you know, to mankind? Right? A misunderstood menace, one that should have, you know, proper, you know, habitat, but a menace nonetheless. Correct? So we understand what Cheskas Nagchon is all about. What does Cheskas Shaskon mean? What does Cheskas Shaskon mean? In Gimel Shanim?
It could be you have to plan somehow about something, you know, one of the issues that we're going to see later on.
Exactly. So it sounds like, Tosa, this is very important, though, because we're talking about the whole Cheusha here. If we use the phrase Cheskas Shaskon in context of Rava Kamaisa, and even if we insisted that Rava Basraisa is merely adjusting Rava Kamaisa, and he too clings to the idea of Cheskas Shaskon, you know, that would be, you know, not too difficult to explain and to justify. However, to say the words Cheskas Shaskon, which invoke Rava Kamaisa in the context of Hol Cheusha, that already is not so obvious, right? So obviously, what Tosas is trying to do is to suggest that there's a svara of Hol Cheusha. That svara is basically there's no major fundamental argument between Rava Kamaisa and Hol Cheusha. The argument between them is about the details of how you generate Cheskas Shaskon, lack of Kpeda, which is a riot studis or Mechila, one of or the other. Is it based on time, or is it based on provocative conduct, actions? So we learn from Shor HaMuad, we don't say, oh, you know, the Shor is having a bad week, he's having a bad month, he's having a bad couple of years. If he continues to gore people all the time for 3 years, then, you know, you should really take stricter measures, you know, in locking him up. After all, he, you know, he's misunderstood. We don't say that. Right? We say three strikes and you're out. Three actions constitute transformation from a, you know, docile pet to being a vicious nagchon. Okay? So too, you know, when we're trying to establish Cheskas Shaskon, we don't assume that it's objective and depends on time. You know, people have time tolerance for squatters. We say, listen, it depends on provocative actions. He's doing one tvua, that's tolerable. The second tvua is already pushing the envelope, and, you know, three tvuos is just, you know, unacceptable, intolerable in every way. But basically, it's Cheskas Shaskon. That's basically what it is. So the Gimel Negichos, right, don't really establish, they establish a pattern in the animal. Here, the pattern isn't established in Tfisa or Mukhzakus per se, it's established in the behavior of the Maharer. That's totally different. There's a logical connection between them. We can, you know, patterns are established by three. Shtika is established by three as well. Which is, by the way, perfectly consistent, if this indeed is Tosas's preferred understanding of Hol Cheusha, perfectly consistent with what other point in Tosas? Yeah. Exactly. And what happens on Chavtesim? I'll just read it for a second, if you don't mind. Right, we read it, I think you read it actually, on Thursday, but for another point, right? For the answer. But what always intrigues me is the question. Okay, go ahead.
The Gimel.
Begimel Zimnin. Oh, so Tosa actually says it. You just have to, you know, follow through. Tosas basically asks, why did the Gemara draw this discrepancy between Holchei Usha on the one hand and Holchei Usha / Rabbi Shmuel on the one hand and the Rabbanon, you know, the Rabbas on the other? That's the pshat in Holchei Usha. It too is about Cheskas Shaskan or Cheskas Einamocha. So why, you know, this major dichotomy in the Gemara? Oh, there's Holchei Usha, there's Rabbanon. That's the question. So, we would expect the answer to be no, the assumption that Holchei Usha are about Cheskas Shaskan and the Raya of Shtika is all wrong. That's not what Holchei Usha are saying. Holchei Usha are saying that there's a process which sometimes takes time. Not everything that happens either immediately or never. Sometimes a process takes time to reinvent or to reestablish, you know, to transform something. And that has nothing to do with Rava, because that is what Rava is about. Not Rava Kamaisa, not Rava Basraisa. That's Holchei Usha. That's the answer that we would expect. I would assume if the Ramban, just to get ahead of myself, would have asked this question, that would be the answer that he would give. Okay. Is that the answer Tosis gives, Sam?
No.
This is back to what you read on Thursday. Namely, what's the answer?
Doesn't reject the assumption at all, just says that the question about the versus
Yeah. Lo dami, go ahead, devadai. Right, meaning what? Exactly. The idea is, you're right, these are different strategies, different methodologies of establishing, you know, lack of kpeda, but they just don't fit lemaisa. I mean, if you're going to do it from actions as opposed to zman, then if you're interested in zman and not in actions, you're not going to bring a raya from Shor HaMuad. So already, this is already the end of the sugya, right, when we made the transition. So the fact that Tosas now, when you go back and say, oh, Tosas only bothered, it's called it a milsa below taima, only when they were bothered by the Dalet, by Negicha number 4, this makes a lot of sense. Right? Because the whole point is that we do understand what the Holchei Usha want. Yeah.
Why do they need a source then?
Why do
you McCorkle? Why can't you say it the 3 times
for Why does who need a source? Holchei Usha or the Rabbanon?
Holchei Usha.
I mean, how do we know in general that, you know, that you can establish a pattern, a behavioral pattern based on actions as opposed to years? We know that from Holchei Usha. I'm not sure, I don't understand that question, really. But
according to Rabbanan, they just had a psora on that. The 3 year psora should have been.
Right, the Rabbanan say, we don't think you can compare Negichos. I mean, we're not going to be very disturbed by that. I mean, why the Rabbanan feel that, like, Negichos are not a proof positive of that you can't, you know, there are very many good reasons for that. So in which case, how do they know that it depends on 3 years and not 5 years? And not? The answer is, it's a svara. You know, they took a poll, or they, you know, they examined you know, the human condition, and they came up with they came to the conclusion that, you know, people have this kind of time tolerance and not more. That's all. But I don't think it's a problem. I mean, okay. So if this is the case, if this is Tosis's view, so, you know, then the question of Dalid is just basically, you know, the only problem in terms of Milsa Blataima, but it's a Milsa Blataima for which the Bali Tosas really have a hard time even hazarding a guess. Okay, now how about the rest of the sugya according to Bali Tosas? So again, the Negicha Revius, they pretty much throw their hands and say, yeah, Milsa Blataima, we don't know what to do with it. They're totally uncomfortable. In the end, the Gemara says, no problem. Right? There's no equation between Negicha Revius, between Shana Revius and Negicha Revius, because no chalos of Negicha Revius. Negicha Revius is just a hechatimtzi of tashlumin, right? You don't get penalized for being a muad, right? You get penalized when you're a muad for doing an act of hezek. But for that split second in the Gemara, Tosis basically doesn't have an explanation. Lishitasa, good. What about elameyata? Right? Chazaka she'eni mataina, right, should be okay. Right, Ariel, so what do you think about that?
Well,
So that's really going to be a problem. That's going to be a problem for everybody. I mean, everybody has a problem with that. Like what, you know, a manyan shmita yitzlar sin. What does one thing have to do with another? The makar happens to be al cheusha. So, and, you know, gimel negicho. So what does it have to do with whether there's a taina or not? And we know there's no taina in negichos. That's because taina is not relevant to negichos. It's about maisa hezek and tashlumin. But taina is relevant when you're trying to establish who's the owner of a piece of property. So what's the Gemara talking about? Elamiyata. It's a strange, no matter which way you slice it, it's a strange question. Right? It's a very challenging shakavataria. That's where we're spending time on it. Okay. But for Balitosis, you know, it's really peculiar. Because even Hocheusha, for them, the preferred explanation, and certainly once they drop the Dalid, and it's no longer Milsa Blotaima, is about Cheskas Shaskan. Right? To the extent that they can ask what they ask on Chavtas and Aleph. So if it's Cheskas Shaskan, you're telling me that if the guy is silent for 3 years, you know, that somehow, and that's a riot studis for the Moxic, that will work without a Taina? How can it work without a Taina? The whole issue is that it differentiates the, you know, the strength of Tainas of one over the other. So this question, El Me'ata Chazaka Sheni Matayna, is just almost impossible to understand, right? So what it's supposed to say, just very quickly, Ariel, can read it quickly. Yeah. First of all, the question is Tema Maisol Kadaita, right? He asked the question. I mean, it's just ridiculous what's going on here, right? That we understand the question very well. Right. The answer, which you just read, which is, so what's the first answer? Oh, so what is this? Maybe it's not Ches, the Havamina was, it's not Cheskas Shaskan and Raya Tzadis as a Raya for the Mapsik. What is it? Mechila. So it's perfect. I mean, this the symmetry in Tosis is perfect. I mean, the Havamina was not that the whole Cheusha are the Maskana of Rava Kemaisa, right? But that they're the Havamina of Rava Kemaisa, if one can say such a thing. Right? The Gemara originally thought that it's about Mechila. Whole Cheusha thought it was Mechila. Instead of whole Cheusha being, you know, unique, whole Cheusha is being plugged in to Chavtesim and Aleph. Tosis is reading Chav Chesam and Aleph and Chav Chesam and Beis in light of Chav Chesam and Aleph. And it makes perfect sense to do so. Yeah? Right. I'm sorry, I'm not following. No, the question is, if this is based on Mechila, so then, good, you weren't Mochel the Karka, but you were previously Mochel the Peiro, so why should it have to be Hadri, Arav, a Hadri, Peiro? That proves that the whole thing has nothing to do with Mechila. That's the Gemara's question. Right? But originally the Gemara thought that it was about Mechila. So Tosis here is saying, when the Gemara asks Elamiyata, you don't need a Taina, because it's not a Raya of Kenyan. It's an establishment of future Kenyan based on Mechila. It's Shalo Yimche Od, not that Shalo Macha Biglal She'ena Shalo. That's Tosis' question. Now again, Tosir assumes, but it's not so bad because it's based on the Havamina of Rava Kamaisa, that there is Mechila Bekarkos. So number one, Tosis reading in light of Chavtas and Aleph, and with that he's taking the idea of Mechila Bekarkos. The Rabbeinu Yonah, as a number of you pointed out correctly last time, and the Rabbeinu Yonah that we asked you to read, quotes this view of Tosis. Doesn't say, you know, Ra'isi B'Tosis, but, you know, he suggests this possibility as well. Right? And he just adds the formulation. Ariel, which one? Lechazeku Kni. I think it's exactly the same point. One second. Again, he's struggling like everybody else to explain this Havamina. He just can't ignore, right, the Shaklavataria. So he says, second. The Havadai Lekele Melev Mishara Muad the Betlas Shanim Achale Achule Vid Litlos Bishtikuse the Havale Command Amar Lechazek Ukne Bematana. Right, that's what he considers, and that's what he rejects. He doesn't like it. He thinks it's wrong. The Rajba and the Ritva also reject this idea. One of the points that they make is the point that, again, what have you made on Thursday? I forgot already who, which is maybe there's no Mechila Bekarka. Now, the question of Mechila Bekarka, I'm not going to go into right now, but just say the following. That's the reason the Rajba and the Ritva, I say, reject this perspective. Read it to you for the Rajba, if I can find it quickly. Between what?
He thinks Lechazik Ukni will work.
If you actually say Lechazik Ukni.
Yeah,
if you say Lechazik
Ukni. The Shtika is Kilu Lechazik Ukni. The Shtika as Mechila wouldn't work. The Shtika as Lechazik
Ukni. Yeah, that's his Maskan. That's the Rajva's Maskan, correct. The Rajva quotes, again, Tulsa said nothing about Lechazik Ukni. So initially, the Rajva was responding to Tulsa's suggestion. Ephraim is absolutely correct. Then he casts a stira, and then he comes to this distinction. One second. Elameata. Yeah. Ikilamedik the korele my korele. Adarabba. Amasisin the kochazaka sheni matayna akshina megamara pshita. The Gemara thinks that the requirement of taina is so basic that the Gemara is wondering why the Mishnah even had to bother to say it. And here the Gemara is suggesting for Holcheyusha that somehow Holcheyusha makes Taina unnecessary. So this is a sharper way maybe to ask the question. So Rajba gives an answer, which we'll get back to in a second. And one of the things, then he quotes the Tosis, Shani Omar Kim Shashasa Kulahai Achule Achil Gabe Ki'inun Shamra Gaonim Kol Dover Shenu Mechusa Karka. The Taina Sablonus Mahanile Medin Mechila, Kedama Rabba Lekaman, Bechad Min Lishne, Tarti Machil Tlos Lo Machil. He too, right, notes that this suggestion in Hocheyusha is the parallel to the Havamina of Rabba Kemaisa, but he himself rejects it. Hachanami Nemesh Dikasa Haina Mechila, Vetekum Bershuse Dahai. Eshoma Dekarka Eina Nikna Bemechila. Again, the Rabbi Yona doesn't say why he rejects it. And Rabbeinu Yonah rejects even the equivalent of Lechazek Ukni. I think that the Rabbeinu Yonah rejects it, we'll get back to this in a moment, L'shitaso, he just doesn't think that this is a conceivable pshat for Holcheyusha. He thinks that Holcheyusha cannot be read in light of Chavtesa Med Aleph. Holcheyusha is a chiddush about the process of Gimel Shanim generating a change in status. We'll see, the Rabbeinu Yonah is very much, as is the Ritva, but Benyon is very much in the Ramban's orbit here. So he just rejects it. The Rajba rejects it because he thinks Karp Yeshomar Karka Eno Nikna Bimechila. Ela Bimechira Vinasina Vila Adif Shtika Mimechila Miforeshes. Right? If you only have Shtika, so that's Mechila, and explicit Mechila is ineffective in Karka. Basically, the Rajba is saying, I should just add, again, this is not our topic right now, maybe we'll get a chance to explore it at some point more fully, but this is a big argument in general whether Mechila applies to Be'en. There's conflicting evidence in the Rambam. The Rav used to speak a lot about this, and especially in the name of Reb Chaim. Is there such a thing as Mechila Be'en or not? Mechila of a Be'en. It's possible that what seems to be Mechila on a Be'en in many situations is really a Mechila on Tzchusei Gevia. Now, as I not really mochel the be'en, so that the cheftza is yours, but I mochel my rights to claim payment from you or to deny tashmishim from you. The truth is very relevant. We will get back to it. It's very relevant to the topic of cheskas tashmishim. Right? Cheskas tashmishim are about the ability, right, either to trample what seems to be trampling on other people's rights in terms of nezakin, or at least, you know, using their object normally, which would require some sort of payment. So it's possible that what looks like, in many cases, the perception of mechila on a be'en is really mechila of schusei gvia or schuyos in the chepetz. Even if you were to take the view that metaltalin are subject to mechila on a be'en, is it possible that karka is different? And this gets back to the bigger question that we already alluded to about differences between metaltalin and karka. So the issue isn't so much only be'en, it's the particular type of be'en that karka is. For example, the Rashba here adds that, so the Rashba here says, whenever you have shibudim, and it seems like mechila is working in karka, it's not really working in karka, you're just being mochel the shibud in the karka. And then he adds, she'ein zeh kenosein karka, ele kemochel al shibudim. V'cheinam yachilas peros, achar she'ochal, harei chazar la'ochel lachuv bi'alma, v'yochel mochlo. Ma she'ein kein begufo shel karka, v'hainu darminan hasam tamamai, etc. The Ritva, I think, says even more explicitly, after all, we know that karka is nicknames b'chazaka and b'kesef and b'shtar, the Mishnah and Kiddushin, but karka is not nicknames b'mechila. I think that's a line in the Ritva. If I can find it in 1 second, I'll read it. If not, look it up. Again, he too considers this possibility and rejects it for the same reason. Okay. Yeah. Then doesn't he also prove to bring the raya from the fact that it's nikdeis bekesav bechazaka and not bemechila? Or is that line there also? That's, you're right. That's exactly what I'm looking for. But that's not there. Maybe that appears in one of the other lines. You don't see it there? Okay. We'll try to find it. Either way, the point is that there's a general question about mechila in a ben. There's a more specific question whether karka might be different than metaltalin in when it comes to Mechilas Ben. Anyways, that's the reason that the Rashba and Ritva reject this possibility. Rabbeinu Yonah seems to reject it simply because he thinks it's incompatible with what Hol Cheusha are really about. But for Bali Tosus, just to reiterate, it's absolutely perfect. And the idea that it is a Chav Tesam and Aleph Halacha that is imposed on Chav Chesam and Beis couldn't be any more perfect. Yeah. Oh, first Jonathan and then Sam. Yeah.
In terms of the Rashba, is it clear that the Rashba is rejecting, even as a Havamina? If you read the Rashba carefully, I thought that the Rashba is saying, he says, when the Didi Kasha, the Adra, the Yushapri Kapar, came to the Mishamur, the Gemara, the Mishamur, the Vachol, in the Nabi, the Mechesis, the Mishamur, the Kamar, the Shus, the Hai. And he says, and maybe we should accept the Havamina. And the way that would work would be based on Mechila. And he says the reason why that's not true is because there's no mechila by karkos.
Okay.
But perhaps it's a havamina.
Oh, you mean maybe you could read it as a havamina? You just can't.
Because after all, he acknowledges that maybe. it is a havamina on the next half.
Right. The question is, how does he interpret the havamina on the next half?
He interprets it exactly as mechila. Chad amar rava lekaman bechadim lishim.
No. That's a saying. You know, we know of this. That's like putting the words into Tosa. We know of such a model because we have it on Chav Tesam and Aleph. Maybe that's the pshat here. I thought that was his explanation of the Havamina.
Very definitely from the Ritva and the Yonah.
Okay, I'll look at it. I'm not sure. I don't know whether it's differently enough. 1 second. No, I just want to speak to him right now. I'll look at it overnight. But it's possible. I'll look at it again. But my impression is that it wasn't different enough that it's... Sam had a question quite quickly. Yeah. Okay, good. So that's the element. What's the second answer of Tosas? Inami?
Inami.
Yeah. So this, as we pointed out already the other day, this is a little bit more problematic. But again, Tosa is shying away from saying that there's a real chazaka sheina matayna here. What he's saying is that we loosen the requirements of the rigorous requirements for a taina. It's a misnomer to say elameata chazaka sheina matayna works. What the Gemara really meant to say, elameata, excuse me, we should have a lower, more flexible standard of what is a taina. And surely, it doesn't sound that way in the Gemara. The reason that Tosis is, you know, coming to that conclusion, aside from the very difficulty of the Gemara itself, is because, again, Tosis sees this whole issue in terms of Chav Tes Amin Aleph, in terms of regular Raya. You had a question, Jason? In Ochanami, I'm not sure. I guess to the extent that it puts the moxic in a bit of a quantitatively, at least, in a stronger position, so maybe that should affect the quality of the time as well. It's a good question. That's the only thing I can think of. Or, excuse me, it could be that we would say what we're going to say, what Tosis does say for the next issue, which we'll get to in a second, about Macha Shalom Bafana, which is, in Ochanami, it really isn't so related to Hokeyusha. He already has that paradigm. But I would guess, if I was a betting man, that he would say, well, if you know you don't, it's not later, and it's easier to establish the lack of kpeda, so you know that implies that we're more sympathetic to begin with, or we're more inclined to accept the machzik's taina. That's why we are accepting less of a compelling imacha. So if that's true, maybe we should also be more liberal in extending time. But it's a good point. It's a good hara. Yeah?
Going back to the Tosis's first point, it's a little bit different from Rav Kamaisa, and that Rav Kamaisa says the mechila is because since you're on my property and I haven't said anything, so
right.
I'm okay.
Right.
Tosis, I think in answering Rabbi Yonah's question on him, is saying that your chuchsa to be a shasa, it's a little bit different than the mechila of Rav Kamaisa. It's not that you're here for 3 years and I'm not
But your hooksuck to be a shot.
Since you've been quiet for 3 years,
right.
So that means that you're going to continue to be quiet, and therefore we know that there's mechila already after 3 years.
As opposed to the mechila of the past. It's a little different. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit of a different point. Maybe that's a way of getting out of the problem of payros. Right? We know now you're going to be silent for the future. But either way, the point is that it's a method of establishing a kinyan, not a raya about a previous kinyan. That's the most important point. Okay. Elameata mecha shalom b'fanav hava mecha. Alote mecha. Again, same problem. What does... Here the question is not as acute as the Dalid. Just give me another couple of minutes. We'll finish this off today. But it's not as acute as the problem of, Shana Revius, or the problem of lack of taina, because those are really substantive things. Like, where do they come from? Where do you get Negicha Revius? Like, who would think of such a thing? And where do you get, this idea that you could ever have a chazaka b'li taina? Mecha shelo b'fanav, is not in that category, because there is a debate whether mecha b'fanav or shelo b'fanav is effective or not. So obviously the degree of difficulty is going to be less. However, the question remains, by and large the same. Namely, if there is this debate, what does it have to do with Holcheyusha? Holcheyusha is a different source, a different paradigm of chazaka, but either way, everybody will agree, presumably, that mecha is doche a chazaka, and once that's true, there's a question whether mecha has to be b'fanav or shelo b'fanav. So what does have to do with Holcheyusha? Okay. That would be the question. So what's Tosa's answer to that question? Ariel, go ahead. The next Tosa's?
Okay.
Yeah, so what do you make of this?
So it seems like a logical thing. Just like there, we say there's no call to the Adah unless it's the Bana. So here, there should be no call to the Machah. It's not the Bana, and that would, and they throw in that caveat that it would be the Chazaka as well.
There's no Chazaka if there's no Machah, and there's no Machah if it's Shalom Afanav, just like there's no Hadah when it's Shalom Afanav. So is this, according to Tosis, imply any real serious connection to Shaar HaMuad? Clearly not. Meaning it's based on the assumption that Machah, Shalom Afanav, is derived from, if you're already learning from Chazaka, so let's say there are different models out there as to whether we rely on or whether we assume that, Chavar Chavar Islay or not. Right? So let's say, the way I think to understand tells it, let's say there's, in the halachic universe, there's more than one, body of evidence. Our body of evidence is greater than one case. And it's not uniform. Okay? So there's some conflicting evidence. So if we're already learning Cheskes Gimel Shanim from Shaar HaMuad, let's look to Shaar HaMuad on that question too. But is that question itself have anything to do with the added insight or illumination about how Cheskes Gimel Shanim works by virtue of the fact that it's derived from Shaar HaMuad? No, clearly not, right? Just that, if this is on our radar screen, and it's relevant for other things, then, why shouldn't we be looking here to answer this totally independent question? Okay? The Afagav. And now we can explain something else, because the whole question is difficult. Now, the question is difficult on two levels. Number one, as we just explained, this is Machlokas. What does this Machlokas have to do with this being the source? Secondly, right, the second point is, you're comparing here what? Mecha to Hadah. Right? But that's a terrible comparison, even within the universe of Holchei Yusha. How so? It's in the wrong direction. If you're comparing Chazaka Shalom Bifanav to Hadah Shalom Bifanav, in both cases you're trying to establish Tamuz, you try to establish Chazaka. Right? Then that's a good comparison. But Mecha is the antithesis of the Chazaka. It breaks up the Chazaka. So because you need Hadah Bifanav to create Muadus, therefore you need Mecha Bifanav to destroy Mukzakus, right? That's a problem, one would think. Now, it's a more serious problem if you really think that you're deriving, in a serious fashion, Gimel Shanim as Mukzakus or Tvisa or Afkas Marakama, all the things we're going to say for the Ramban, but not today, but when we pick up with this and finish with it on Tuesday, if you're saying all those things, then this is a very serious problem. Or at least it's a serious problem. Maybe not the very. But if you hold, like Bali Tosis, that all we're really learning is Cheskes Shaskin, and the only reason we really care about Gimel Shanim when it comes to the question of Mecha is because we're looking for sources about Chavar Chavar Islay, so then this is a very manageable problem, right? Because we're not really equating the two at all. So that's the next line. Go ahead. V'afagav. Right, because who cares? We're not really, it's not in the substance of the equation that we're asking the question. It's in the general relevance of the category, one could say. Okay. But once you say that, what about Chazaka itself? Go ahead. V'hadanakat macha. Because you might even ask, but Chazaka shalom b'fanav, everybody thinks is a good thing? Almost everybody, we'll discuss that. The answer is, right, that's because, there's added umdana, people always want to know what's going on in their land, So, but people don't necessarily want to know whether people out there are maligning them and claiming that they're thieves. You might not want to hear that, right? Especially if you're totally innocent, it wouldn't occur to you that, somebody would be doing this defamation against you. Okay, go ahead. Below Shaar HaMuad, then he adds even better, which really clinches it. Go ahead. Meaning that he's admitting now that the whole thing has nothing to do with Shaar HaMuad. Meaning in general, there's a question whether Chavar Islay is enough to rely on or not. And, you know, how can we rely on it? And if there's no Sharmud, we'd be raising this question. And the answer of the Gemara then is, not any deep reassessment, but Chaber Chaber Islay, no problem, you can rely on it. Aye, what about Behuad Babalov? Go ahead. Umishani. Chaber Chaber Islay. Even Hadah is a call. I mean, the assumption, which is that this is a practical question, whether or not you can rely on Chaber Chaber Islay, is wrong. Right? Abal b'hada greda. That's a special gzeres hakasav. It's part of the formality of creating, because in muad and tam, you're really creating a new status. To create a new status, it isn't sufficient that he hear about it, right? You have to impose it upon him directly, right? That's part of the added shmira or the shame muad. These are part of the formal dinim of transforming from a tam to a muad. What does that have to do with Gimel Shani? So this whole Tosus, essentially, right, is Tosus' way of completely neutralizing the Shaklavataria of the Gemara. Why? Because of what he wrote on Chav Ches Amid Beis on top, and what he wrote on Chav Ches Amid Aleph on the bottom, and what he wrote on Chav Ches Amid Aleph on the top, which is, Holche Usha is nothing exotic, you know, except for that one line in the Havamina about Dalid. And then we don't even want to bother to try to figure out what it is. Otherwise, Holcheyusha is a form of Rava Kemaisa. So you just have to neutralize everything. The Elameatas just, you know, they don't mean anything. The Taina one doesn't mean anything. I don't say it doesn't mean anything. I mean, important shitas emerge. But in terms of Cheskes Gimel Shanim, there's a certain pattern, I think, in Tosis, which is very, very clear. Richek Nigichosav, Kirev Nigichosav, Tosis doesn't bother with. I find that interesting too, because that is really Tamua Bioser. I mean, what does the fact that Kirev Nigichosav, you know, what does it have to do with Cheskas Gimel Shanim, you know, through Meisim? Again, unless it's Cheskas Shas, that too is a Shir in the Cheskas Shaskin. But the reason that's a little bit problematic is the question of Kirev and Richek Nigichosav, one would have thought, and this is true across the board, is a question very particularly about Cheskas Nagchon. In other words, you know, like I said before, the animal's having a bad day. That's when an animal gores three times in a day, so he's really vicious, right? Or he's having a bad day, and it's not fair to count it three times. He didn't see, you know, his therapist that day, or he didn't get, you know, fed properly that day. He has some anxiety, you know, about living either in the wild or in captivity. Whatever it is, that it's not a good day for this animal. Normally, any other day of the week you come to him, right, he's, you know, as genteel as they come. That's a question. Kirov Nigichosav? That's one way to look at it. Kirov Nigichosav, Richek Nigichosav. Right? If it's not only over time, but every time, you know, he just is so violent, that's Kirov Nigichosav. And Richek Nigichosav says, to establish a real pattern, right, you have to take into account that, you know, that over time this pattern asserts itself. It's a fascinating question, right, about behavior in general. And of course, I'm sure one would distinguish between the behavior of people and animals and different types of behavior. I mean, but it's an interesting and important question. Is that really, on a behavioral level, is that really transferable to Cheskas Gimel Shanim or Cheskas Shaskan? I think that's very problematic. I just find it interesting that Tosis either thought it was not problematic at all, and it's purely behavioral, or he just didn't want to deal with it. I don't know. There's no kasha, you know, from a Gemara against it, but I just find it interesting that Tosis neglected. Either way, Tosis Shita is, I think, very consistent. The sharp, sharp contrast is with the Ramban. As we said last time, the Ramban, I think, is being medayik in Rashi. It's rooted in Rashi. I think Rashi, by virtue of the fact that the Gemara, again, has these two formulations. Initially, when the Gemara explains the connection, so the Gemara says, Hachinami, one second, Novelim b'cheskas tam v'kamele b'cheskas mu'ot, Hachinami, kivin da'ochla t'las shenin, n'ofek m'rshus mocher b'kaima b'rshus lokeach. Right, the Gemara has this double formulation, hafkoas marakama, and yitziras cheskas hamachzik. Then in the continuation, the Gemara says about Dalid, Nehochanami Adshan Ravias Lokaim Abirshuse. Right? Notice when the Gemara says that Darshan Ravias should be a problem, the Gemara doesn't say Lo Yetze Mershus Ha, you know, Hamarakama. The Gemara emphasizes it shouldn't be enough until the fourth year that it should enter into the mukzakus of the machzik. It dropped the marakama part. So again, you could say it's short form. You don't need to, you know, you say, you know, the first time in the ksuva, you know, you say, spell out the guy's whole name, and you, the mishpachas, and then you just, you know, next few times, you know, he's Hasan Danan, you know, on the first name basis. So it's not necessary each time. Or the Gemara is very meduyak in its lashon, and the Gemara is really, both in its double formulation and then in the, you know, focus on stage two, is establishing that something is really created here. There's a process here. And then when you add to that, so Rashi on Chazaka, again, it's diuk, admittedly, no one else points it out that I know of, but when the Gemara talks about the Dalet Shanim, I'm sorry, Chazaka Sheinu Mataina, so then Rashi says, Mefarish B'masis, and the Kaman, he says, Tehev Chazaka, Deha Amr, Shalosh Shanim, Mafkele Mershus Mocher. So then Rashi goes in the other direction. You know, he emphasizes, after all, it's Hafkas Marakama, what do you need a taina for? Instead of saying what the Gemara said previously in the other difficult Havamina, which is, you have to establish a Chazaka, right? And then again, when it comes to the question of B'chosh Shalom B'fana, Rashi again says, when he says Dumi the Shara Muad, he says, Lot Heve Eidus Arunim. Also here, Lot Heve Eidus Shalom B'fana B'dimacha Dumi the Hadai. Shehi Asra Lishma Shar. No, one second. No. When he explains the answer, Hasan Behuad Bebail of Amrachmana says, Lo Dami. Nay, the Gamrinan Gimel Shanami Gimel Negichos. Kihech the Mafki Hani Mechazaka. Haninami Mafki Mechazaka. Again, Rashi emphasizes the Hafkas Marakam. So I think that the Ramban doesn't say this, and I could be wrong. Either way, the Ha'ara stands on its own. I think that Rashi here was being very meduya, and that Rashi understood the sugya that Shara Muad, unlike Tosis, has nothing to do with Shtika, nothing to do with Mechila, nothing to do with Riot Stadis. It has to do with a real change in status and the process that creates that. I think the Ramban picked up on that. That's why for the Ramban, the whole thing is, you know, I don't know why these dinim are connected. That's why does change or transformation in area A of halacha, right? Why does that depend on what constitutes change in area B? The paradigm, if we understand it to be about transformation, is questionable, because wouldn't you think that the dynamic of different kinds of change, you know, would be wholly independent? That's what the Ramban says. When off that, he says, this is, you know, problematic. But it's what we're given to work with. That's the Masorah of Chachmei, of Hochei Yusha. And therefore, we need to understand it. And the whole Ramban is to analyze these two components, their interrelation to each other. There's Hafkas, Tamus, and Yitziras, Muadus on one side, and there is Hafkas, Marakama, and Yitziras, Muchzakus on the other. So we'll pick up with this on Tuesday. Sorry for a little late, but... And tomorrow at 10 to 2, for anybody who wants, I should say something, I'll speak about it more fully, but Yoni brought it to my attention. There should be no misunderstanding about the days when we don't have a full shear. The purpose, obviously, is so you can prepare more seriously and...